more than 30 days of violent and sometimes deadly clashes, Peru is under a state of emergency. Demonstrators have blocked roadways and shut down runways, with protesters hurling rocks and fury at security personnel, who push back with brutal and sometimes deadly force. The protests began after the impeachment of former President Pedro Castillo in December.
Disolver.
After he tried to dissolve Congress by decree in a power grab and form an emergency government. His vice president and former political ally, Dina Boluarte, took over. But Castillo's supporters, who see him as a champion of poor and indigenous Peruvians, stuck with him.
Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In today's video, I want to give you an update on what's going on in Peru in South America. Now, if you're a long-standing follower of the channel, you'll know that I previously posted a video on Peru in April 2022. And at that time, there were protests in the country as a result of rising gasoline and food prices caused directly by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. So in today's video, I'll have a look at the protests that have been going on in Peru for around 5 or 6 weeks. We'll talk about what's happening with regards to the economy. So I'll have a look at the imports and the exports, the balance of trade, what's happening with inflation and where we are on interest rates. And then we'll talk about what's going on with regards to the presidency, because the former president of Peru has been arrested and put into jail and his deputy has taken over. And that's what's causing a lot of the unhappiness amongst all of the people. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think is likely to happen in Peru over the course of the next 3 to 6 months and what the potential implications are for Peru's economy and the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, that would be great. Please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters, so if you don't have time to watch everything, you can pick and choose what you'd like to see. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. And as always, I'd like to say thank you so much to everyone that has supported the channel. I really, really appreciate it. Peru is a country that's located in northwest South America and has a population of 33 million. It was famously home to the ancient civilization of the Incas, who set up the city of Machu Picchu high up in the Andes Mountains. The Amazon River runs through Peru, and around half of the country is covered by tropical rainforest. Peru has a variety of natural minerals and resources and is the second largest exporter of copper globally. Metal ores and minerals make up around 50% of the country's exports, and the biggest industries within Peru are services and manufacturing. There is a large rural population in Peru, and around 27% of the population are employed in agriculture. The large rural population is not wealthy, and around 20% of the people in Peru are living below the poverty line. Now, in a lot of the videos that I've made about developing countries, we talk about the fact that they don't have lots of natural resources and therefore they're having to import large amounts of oil and fuel and food, and they're running a negative balance of trade. However, the situation for Peru is somewhat different. As you saw earlier in the video, Peru actually has a lot of natural resources and a very healthy export trade. And this chart shows you the breakdown of Peru's exports. And you can see that the biggest single category is copper, representing 26% by value. And the second largest category is gold, which represents around 15%. And Peru's also exporting zinc, lead, iron, and tin in various states of refinery. Now, as you can see, Peru also has oil and exports some refined petroleum. However, it no longer produces enough oil to serve its own population and is now a net importer of oil. And this chart shows the countries that Peru is exporting to. And you can see by far its largest trading partner is China, which represents around a third of all of the exports. The second largest is the United States, representing around 13%, followed by South Korea, Japan, Canada, and India. And as I mentioned earlier in the video, the vast majority of the exports coming out of Peru represent unrefined metal ores. So these countries are importing the raw material, and then they are refining it into the finished product, so into copper and gold and zinc and tin and so on. This chart shows a breakdown of Peru's import, and as you can see, Peru is importing a myriad of different products. However, the largest single category is oil products, with refined petroleum representing over 6% and crude representing around 2%. Now, these coloured squares relate to different types of products, and you can see at the bottom that we've got food products represented in yellow and light green. So Peru is importing a lot of different food items. And in terms of which countries Peru is importing all of these goods from, the largest single trading partner is China, representing around 29% of all imports, followed by the United States, which provides around 20%. And not surprisingly, given the fact that Peru's located in South America, the next largest are Brazil, Chile, and Argentina. This chart shows you the movement in the balance of trade in Peru over the last 12 months. And if you follow the channel, you'll be aware that the balance of trade measures the difference between the value of your imports and the value of your exports. So if you're exporting more than you're importing, that means you're being paid more than you're paying out, and therefore you'll have a positive balance of trade and be building up cash reserves. However, if your imports cost more than your exports, then you'll be paying out more than you're receiving in, and you'll be running a negative balance of trade. And if you look at what's been happening in Peru, you can see that over the course of the last year, 11 out of the 12 months have had a positive balance of trade. And this is obviously a very positive position because it means that Peru is building up capital and therefore it's not having to dip into its reserves. However, if you look at the trend for the balance of trade, you can see that there is a pronounced downward movement between this time last year and where we are today. So the trend is indicating to us that there's more pressure being applied onto that balance of trade. And this will relate directly to the fact that Peru is a net importer of oil products and food products. And as you'll know if you follow the channel, following Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the 24th of February, we saw a massive spike in the price of all of those commodities in the international markets. And any countries that were having to buy them in had to suck that up and just pay those higher prices. So that put more pressure on their budgets because it increased the total amount that they were having to pay out. Even if you were importing the same volumes, those volumes would obviously cost a lot more because prices moved up significantly. Now, if we expand the balance of trade graph out to show the last 10 years, you can see that between 2013 and 2021, there was a significant upward trend in the balance of trade. So this indicates that things have been going well for Peru over that period. The value of their exports were higher than the cost of their imports, so therefore they were in a healthy position. They were building up cash reserves. But if you look at what's happened since 2021, there has been a complete change in the trend, and it is now significantly downward. And that's as a direct result of those higher import costs from oil and food and other related products. This chart shows the current account for Peru. So this is similar to the balance of trade. However, this relates to all expenditure. So this is the difference between what the government is receiving in terms of taxes and other monies that it's collecting in, and what it's spending on things like infrastructure, social care, all of those sort of items. So this is basically very similar to your own checking account. If you're spending more than you're earning, you'll be running a negative position, an overdraft. However, if you're earning more than you're spending, you'll be building up a nice cash reserve. And if you look at what's been happening in Peru, you can see that over the last 12 months, the majority of months have had a negative position in terms of the current account. And the trend is significantly downward. So the negative position is getting larger, particularly over the last few months. And if we expand this chart out to look at the last 10 years, you can see it's got very similar characteristics to what we saw for the balance of trade. Between 2013 and 2021, there was a significant positive trend, so things were getting better. However, over the course of the last 18 months, we've seen a complete shift in that, and we've got a steeply downward curve now. So this indicates that the financial position of Peru is starting to come under a lot of pressure. This chart shows the movement in the official rate of inflation in Peru over the last 12 months. And if you follow the channel, you'll know that this chart is very similar to what we've seen for the vast majority of countries all around the world. Following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, we saw a large increase in the cost of commodities, and that fed through into prices and caused inflation to rise in most economies. Now, interestingly, this time last year, the rate of inflation in Peru was 5.7%, which is actually relatively low compared to what we've seen in a lot of European countries. During the course of 2021, in a lot of developed economies, we saw a large increase in demand for products and services, and that drove up inflation because demand was higher than supply. So for many of the developed economies, we saw inflation closer to 10%. So in relative terms, Peru is doing quite well. However, as you can see, between January and June, inflation increased to almost 9% and has stayed at those elevated levels over the last 6 months or so. And an ongoing rate of inflation above 8% is not sustainable for any economy because it puts pressure onto wages. And as I mentioned at the start of the video, Peru has a high percentage of poor people, people who are living below the breadline. And if we expand this chart out to show the position over the last 10 years, you can see that inflation has been at low and manageable levels in Peru right up until 2021, when the impact of the COVID pandemic forced it to start rising upwards, and the Ukraine war has continued to consolidate those problems. And I do think it's interesting to note that Peru has managed to stabilize its inflation historically, because a lot of developing countries have historically had high rates of inflation. And this chart plots the movement of food inflation over the last 12 months. And as you can see, food inflation has been outstripping actual inflation. The rate of increase in food prices jumped up from 7% in January to 12% in April. Month on month, it stayed above 11% all the way through until November. But in December, the rate increased to above 15%. And as I mentioned, this is a real problem when you have a lot of poor people in your society, because they don't have any savings, they don't have any capacity to pay more for food. So when food goes up by 15%, generally it means that they can afford to buy less food. And that's when people start to get very unhappy and take to the streets and start protesting about what's going on. And once again, if we expand this chart out to show the position over the last 10 years, you can see that the current rates of food inflation are the highest that have ever been seen. Historically, the price of food has not been growing by more than 5%. So a current rate of 15% is completely out of kilter with what the people of Peru have experienced. This chart plots the movement in interest rates in Peru over the last 5 years. If we look at the position 5 years ago, the official rate of interest was around 3%. In line with the rest of the world, as we went into the COVID pandemic in 2020, Peru dropped its rates to virtually zero, and it remained at those levels until we came out of the pandemic, demand started increasing, and Peru were very early to start increasing their interest rates. And over the course of the last year or so, the rate of interest has increased progressively to the current level of 7.75%. However, as we saw from the inflation chart, this isn't solving the problem with inflation. In fact, inflation is starting to increase. And one of the reasons for this is that a lot of the inflation is being driven by what's happening in the international markets. The price of oil and food has gone up on a long-term basis, and those increase in prices are being passed on to Peruvian consumers. So the continual increase in interest rates isn't really having the desired effect in Peru.
Marching through the streets of Lima, planned anti-government protests continue for its second day. Thousands of Peruvians have descended on the capital from even the highest mountain regions, often defying state of emergency orders, to call for the removal of President Dina Boluarte.
We want the usurper Dina Boluarte to step down and call for new elections. The protests will continue. The south of the country is riotous at the moment.
Tensions continue to bubble outside of Lima, too. Here in the southern region of Arequipa, demonstrators marched and burned tires amid scuffles with police. And in the border city of Puno, the square is full of supporters.
In Congress, in the government, they said that there are only a few of us. But look at all of Puno. It is packed, and there is no room in the streets. They're the ones who are few.
The South American country has been rocked by over 5 weeks of deadly protests, with demonstrators criticizing the government and security forces for a heavy-handed crackdown that left scores of civilians dead.
So what is going on in Peru? Why is everybody protesting? Because when we've looked at the economics don't look too bad. Yes, there are some trends at the moment that are moving towards the negative, but it doesn't look like a state of crisis. However, when you look at what's going on in Peru right now, you have to look at what's happening with regards to society. There is currently a massive imbalance of wealth in Peru. Around 20% of the people own around 50% of the wealth, and the poorest members of society in the rural areas outside of the capital city of Lima are really suffering the most. So there are some fundamental issues with regards to the structure of society. But one of the other issues that's caused major problems, particularly over the last 5 years or so, is the political instability in the country. Over the course of the last 5 years, Peru has had 6 different leaders. So it's been basically changing its government on a regular basis. And the problem is when somebody comes into power, everybody else objects to what they want to do, and therefore they're undermined, and eventually they end up being removed. In July 2021, Pedro Castillo, who came from a poor rural area and was a schoolteacher before he decided to move into politics, was elected as the new president of Peru. And the hopes of the people at that time was that he would represent the rights of all of the poorer and the indigenous people of Peru. But as with all of his predecessors, he found that there was a lack of support and a lot of divisions within the government, and he actually faced 3 different charges of impeachment. The first in December 21, when he was accused of bribery and corruption, which he managed to win the vote on. The second in February 2022 on the same charges, and he actually managed to get through that vote because a number of people abstained from voting. And then the third set of charges were brought against him in December of 2022. And 1 hour before the vote was due to be held, he announced that he was dissolving parliament and was taking control of the country independently, and that he would set up a new government. So this was essentially a non-military coup. He was deciding that he was going to change the whole structure of the country and run the country himself. Now, in direct response to his announcement, the government all resigned. They held the impeachment vote, which was voted in favour. He was removed from power, arrested, and he's now in prison. And this situation is what sparked all of the latest protests, because the people from the rural areas outside of the capital city of Lima still see the former president as a champion of the people, as representing their best interests, despite all of his failings in government over the course of the last 18 months or so. And so they're demanding that he gets released from prison and he gets reinstated as the president. Now, at the time of his arrest, his assistant, Dina Boluarte, was appointed as the new president, and she's not showing any sign of support of releasing the former president and giving him his job back. In fact, it's the exact opposite. At the beginning of December, she announced a state of emergency in Peru, under which all gatherings were prohibited in all of the rural areas. People were banned from travelling around the country. Unannounced searches of people's property were authorised and curfews were introduced. Now, as you've seen from the footage today, the people of Peru have not been abiding by that state of emergency. They've been ignoring the fact that they're not allowed to gather and travel, and they've actually been turning up in their thousands in cities all across Peru to demonstrate how unhappy they are with the current situation and the fact that the former president has been jailed. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because I've been seeing news about what's happening in Peru over the course of the last few weeks. And as always, I want to have a look into the detail, to dig down into what's going on with the economy of Peru, and to work out what the fundamental reasons for all of this unrest are, and whether there's any link to what's going on elsewhere in the global economy. And I think, as we've seen today, Peru is quite an unusual case because it's a South American developing country. So you would have expected it to have a negative balance of trade, to have more imports than exports, to be struggling and maybe needing a bailout. But that isn't the situation. And actually, from a financial point of view, Peru is in a pretty healthy situation. It has a lot of natural resources that the rest of the world wants. Copper, gold, zinc, iron, tin. All of these things are really attractive to the rest of the world. So they're doing quite well from an economic point of view. They're still making all of those sales. Their position has been eroded over the last 18 months as a result of the increase in oil prices and food prices, because they're a net importer of those commodities. But overall, they've still got a positive balance of trade just about at the moment, and they've still got reserves. So they're in a relatively good position when you compare them to other countries such as Pakistan or Sri Lanka that are on the verge of collapse. But the other factor that you always need to bear in mind with economics is the management. Who's in charge of decision making? Who decides what's happening with policies and cash and all the rest of it? And that is the government of Peru. And as we've seen, the government of Peru is completely unstable. So we've got a really unique situation of financial stability and political instability. And that political instability and mismanagement of the economy is now causing major problems for Peru, because we've got a real division within the country. There are a small number of wealthy people who are doing very well, and there is a large number of very poor people who are below the breadline. So these people can't even afford to put food on the table. And as we saw from the figures that we looked at earlier, inflation is now on the up. Over the last 12 months, it's increased dramatically. And particularly food inflation has increased significantly. And that's a major problem because, as we mentioned earlier, The poorest members of society don't have any savings. They don't have the capacity to spend more on food. So when food prices rise by 15%, as they are right now in Peru, that just means that they're buying less food. And there comes a breaking point when you can't buy enough food for your family, when you say, enough's enough, I'm going to protest. And that's exactly what's happening on the streets of Peru right now. And the problem that we've got is that they've just had a recent change of government. They've had a change of leader. So there is a new president in place, but everybody is really unhappy with the new president. It's been reported in a recent poll that 71% of the population of Peru said that they would like to see a new leader instated. So when you take a step back and look at what's going on right now and the general feeling amongst the population, it's possible that these protests could continue up until the point when we do see a change of government. Now, whether or not that solves the problem is difficult to answer. But when you look at what's been happening over the last 5 years with six different presidents taking over, nobody really seems to be in a position to sort out the issues because we've got such divisions within society. So Peru looks like it's becoming unmanageable. And when you look at the history books as to what happens in these sort of situations, quite often there will be some form of takeover backed by the military. Now, I'm not saying that that's definitely going to happen, but it is a possibility here. So obviously this is a live situation, it's ongoing right now, and I'll keep you informed as to what's going on if there's any major news. So hopefully you found today's video useful, informative and thought-provoking. Please let me know what you think of this new lighting setup because I'm experimenting at the moment. I haven't actually got the final set of lights that I'm waiting to be delivered, but this gives you a feel as to what I'm trying to achieve. I'm trying to change the mood a little bit to soften down the lighting because the feedback I'd had from some viewers was that the white background is a bit too stark. They wanted something a bit more pleasing on the eye, so I'm trying to mix it up a bit. So please let me know what you think of this and whether or not you like this particular colour. And thank you so much for watching this video all the way through to the end.